Hi, friends. Before we begin today's program, a quick note on this year's Summer Challenge. As you probably know, summer is usually the time of year with the lowest average giving for ministries. And that is true of Compassion Radio as well. Yet our operating expenses remain consistent throughout the year. Even as we rightly celebrate 75 years of amazing ministry and partnership with you, we're facing a budget deficit that we cannot ignore. So I'll ask you, can I count on you to make sure that Compassion Radio continues this year and in the years to come? We really need you to stand with us and to do it this month, this week, and yes, today. Thanks so much for all you do to help us reach out to the world through great partnership projects and to bring you the inspiring news of these projects each and every day. Bless you, friends, and thank you so much.
Today on Compassion Radio.
We took her back when she was in like the fifth or sixth grade on a mission trip with us. She went over and we wanted to take a couple extra weeks. We sent the missions team home after our mission project. And we kept her over there a couple weeks and we just began to tour around the country a little bit and showed her some different things about her country. And then one day we said, now we're going to go to the baby house today to visit the aunties and everything that want to see you. And so we went back over there and of course she just crawled right on the floor with the babies and just began to cuddle the little babies up in her arms. And when we began to leave, she said, I want to stay.
Welcome once again to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. I'm your host, Frank Montenegro. You know, since its foundation, Door of Hope in Johannesburg, South Africa, has rescued 1,685 babies. Now, let me say that again. 1,685 little babies rescued by Door of Hope in Johannesburg, South Africa. Today, the president of the Compassion Radio Board, Cher Nelson, talks with Shirley Smith, a woman who, along with her husband, adopted one of those babies. My friend, you are going to be blown away by this amazing success story. Here's Cher with the final part of that conversation.
You mentioned the church, and you mentioned earlier the number of nations that were represented there. That was one of the most striking things to us, was how many nations have people who had heard about the golden city of Johannesburg, where jobs were just so plentiful and you could just get rich coming there, and people streamed from all over to a city that crumbled under the weight of it all. And it was the reason that there were pockets that were such crime-ridden, poverty-stricken areas like Berea, where Don and Cheryl established their church. But there were, I don't know how many different languages being spoken. Their deacons from the church, I think every one of them was from a different country. It was the most fascinating preview of heaven for us, of just seeing all those different nationalities worshiping together. It's one thing when we travel and we have the wonderful experience of worshiping with different nationalities where, you know, they sing in one language, but we know the song and we sing in English with them and we share that together. Yeah. But this was such a cross-national experience of people coming together who loved the Lord, who had nothing but were willing to give everything they had to making the church and the Door of Hope Project happen together. It was an intriguing and thrilling thing. And as I understand, that's still most as international as it was then. Is that true?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is. And I don't remember if you all came there when all the walls removed from that building when you all were there. Do you remember just being different little rooms in the church?
No. It was open.
All open, because that was, you know, a normal looking house with the rooms and the kitchen and the bathrooms and everything in it. And of course, it just began to fill up. You know, the one room would fill up and people would be hanging in the windows and all during the service. You would hear this, and it took me a little while to get used to when we began to attend there, but you would have somebody in front of you interpreting for the person next to them. All through the audience, that would be going on. And eventually, you know, we had a North Carolina team to come in, and we said, you know, we need this other wall torn out here. Can you just get that wall out? We got to put more chairs in the church. And one room after the other, we had a team to come over, and ended up, we had taken everything out, including the kitchen and the toilet.
Oh, no.
We had to build a little area with the toilet out back, another little room, and then we built a little Sunday school room out back for the children. But the whole entire thing, of course, they had to put something to keep the house braced, of course, columns in the middle. And now they still do not have enough space. They have people still standing at the doorway and sometimes looking in the window. So it never went back down. It always has increased, always. And there's just as many, probably more nationalities meeting in that church today.
That is so wonderful. Most of our listeners will know that Cheryl has had some real struggles with her health.
Yes.
We always wonder, but do not ask the Lord, why these things happen when people are so dedicated to serving Him in such dire situations. Mm-hmm. It would seem like those are the servants that He would prop up and take care of the most, but we do want to ask our people to continue to pray for Cheryl and Don.
Yes.
It has been a real struggle for them, and God just needs them so desperately in that place. But I know that they have been teaching and feeding and raising up other workers in that field to take their place someday. But please continue to pray for the ministry of Berea Baptist. It's an amazing international church.
Oh, absolutely. We would make anything for having been members there. We had been told by other missionaries, now, you know what? It's probably not the safest thing to do is to ride down into the intercity, you know, and visit and go to church and whatever. And, of course, we visited with Cheryl in a few weeks after that and heard her vision for the whole church and not the project of the Door of Hope yet, because that was not even born, but just her vision there for that community. And it just sort of drew us. The next Sunday, we found ourselves worshiping with them and did ever after. You know, we were there with them as members till we left Johannesburg. We were there 4 years.
I can understand that. That's where I would have been, too.
Yeah.
And she's a good preacher.
Absolutely. She's a very good preacher.
Shirley, tell our listeners what is on your heart the most about the Door of Hope Project, what they can be praying for, what their investment in Door of Hope actually accomplishes. Just share with our people anything that you would say if someone came to you and said, what about this Door of Hope thing? What's it about and what is it accomplishing?
Well, my first thought are for those little ones and how they must suffer when they're first born and they're treated so badly. My heart just burns because of that, because I know they probably aren't treated very well. The cord's still hanging on them when we get them sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I think about what happens to those we never hear about. That's where my heart really sinks. What about those that were not rescued? Mm-hmm. Pray for those people to have at least the courage to hand that baby over to someone so somebody can take care of that little one, because they're helpless. They're just totally helpless little babies. And it just grabs at my heart to think, you know, that there's just no hope for them. And they have pain just like we have pain. Some of them are in very pitiful conditions when we found them. The suffering that they go through, and it just breaks my heart. And I'd say it's such a worthwhile cause. The village is helping these children, and they're our future. It's helping our children to see the light and to see a better way for their future.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the children I just would see in the villages and on the streets while we live there. Some of the children live with their parents, of course. But they still look destitute. They just look like they have no hope. And that just would ring at me when I would see them. I just wanted to hug them all and bring them all home with me just to give them some hope and just to love on them, because the culture's just different there than it is with us.
Right. And when parents have no hope, they can't pass it on to the children.
That's exactly right. And they would look at us like, you know, I know you have something to give us. I know you have better than we do. What can you do for us? And it's just like we did all we could, but we could only go so far ourselves. That was hard to walk away from.
I can understand. When you read about the little ones being found that did not survive, when you have the ability to be able to have done something different, it just has to just tear your heart out.
Absolutely.
Shirley, this has been so great to be able to talk to you and to learn about Georgina's life. What an incredible thing the Lord has done. not just in saving her, but now in using her. As you said, she had her first opportunity to go back and work at the baby home as a volunteer. Can you tell us a little bit about what she said, what she experienced, or any change that you saw in her as a result of that?
Oh, she came home just bubbling, and each time she has come back, she has said, "I can't wait to go back." That's her first words. "I have to go back." And she will text me so often now during the week. And just last week, there was a little baby, I believe her name was Nadine, that got adopted. Her little picture was on Facebook. They never show their faces, right, but they said a form of them, maybe turning to the side. And she had this cute little dress on that some of the women from my church here had made and sent over by Georgina. She said, "Oh, she had one of the dresses I took over, Mama. I can't believe that she's going to be leaving, but I'm happy she's leaving." She said, "I'm so sad I won't get to see her again." But I said, "No, let's be happy for her. She's going to forever good home." So you can tell that part of her heart is still there. And I don't know. We just wait and see what might happen someday. I just feel like it's not necessarily over for her. I just pray that someday Georgina is in a music major, that I can see her doing benefits for those children. And I just envision lots of ways that she could still minister, even if she can't be there with all the little ones.
Yeah, I think what she could do to teach music to those little ones.
Oh, yeah.
To start a Door of Hope choir or something like that.
Absolutely.
Does she have any memory at all, or does she have any feeling of belonging to that, or is it a totally separate thing to her now?
You know, she has feelings knowing that she was a part of it, because we've told her stories and helped her to understand, you know, where she was, when, what age and whatever she was when she came through it. She's heard the story many times. I think now she feels a part of it, that she's not as connected, you know, and she doesn't remember. That's the part I was trying to think. She doesn't remember a lot. We took her back when she was in like the fifth or sixth grade on a mission trip with us. She went over, and we wanted to take a couple extra weeks. We sent the mission team home after our mission project, and we kept her over there a couple of weeks, and we just began to tour around the country a little bit and showed her some different things about her country. And then one day we said, "Now we're going to go to the baby house today to visit the aunties and everything. They want to see you." And so we went back over there, and of course she just crawled right on the floor with the babies and just began to cuddle the little babies up in her arms. And when we began to leave, she said, "I want to stay." And I said, "Well, we need to leave now." We had been there quite a while, but she just wanted to stay. She said, "Can I just stay a little while? You come back and get me." And I think it might have been Auntie Aggie or somebody, and they said, "It's okay, let her stay."
You're listening to Compassion Radio with our guest host, Cher Nelson. There's more coming up, so stay with us.
When everything is right, God says, "Go." When God says, "Go," His presence goes with you.
My father was a radio broadcaster. He actually started the ministry that we have. He, in essence, passed it down to me, and we've been able to carry it forward. Although we have now changed the focus of the program from essentially devotional now to much more in terms of the global mission of the church, what God is doing around the world, and bringing back those stories.
Hello, friends. This is Bram Floria, president of Compassion Radio. We have the great privilege of celebrating our 75th anniversary. Compassion Radio is the only completely listener-supported radio program on the air this long. We are not funded by a huge church organization or wealthy benefactor. You are our church. If this broadcast has ever challenged you in your faith, inspired you to serve, or encouraged you in any way to do better in your walk with God, please let us know right now by supporting this daily radio ministry and the international mission projects of Compassion Radio with your prayers and with your financial support. You can reach us by calling 1-800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. And new for this year, you can give right through your phone. Just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thank you so much for every prayer and your consistent financial support.
unto my feet, and a light unto my path. But when I feel afraid, I think I've lost my way. Still, you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet.
Now, back to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
And one day we said, now we're going to go to the baby house today to visit the aunties and everything. They want to see you. And so we went back over there. And, of course, she just crawled right on the floor with the babies and just began to cuddle the little babies up in her arms. And when we began to leave, she said, I want to stay. And I said, well, we need to leave now. We had been there quite a while. But she just wanted to stay. She said, can I just stay a little while and come back and get me? And I think it might have been Auntie Aggie or somebody, and they said, it's okay, let her stay. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I'm not sure this is the right thing. She said, no, that we'll watch after her. And so the next morning we got up to go around, and we're going to see some more sights and let her see more of her country and whatever. And then Roy had some meetings intermingled with this trip a little bit. And she said, well, I don't want to go with you all today. And I said, well, that's strange. She said, I want to go back to the door of hoop. We took her back over there for the next 2 days. And they said, we love having her. She just sits in the floor and plays with the children. And she asked them, the last day she was there, she said, how old do I have to be to come back and be a volunteer in the summer? I said, George, you're going to have to be 18. She said, okay. She sat there a minute. She said, that will be the year of 2016. I graduate from high school, and I would just have turned 18. I'll be back that summer.
Oh, bless her heart.
And she was. She helped earn the money. We had some bake sales, and
really?
People from the church saw her struggling to have a good bake sale, and they bought her little cookies and pies and cakes for a lot more than they were worth. And a lot of people like that helped us get her back over there. And then she went over year before last again. This time the state convention was able to help her to go over on part of her funds. And she was able to speak at a large women's group over there that Richard had found out a little before she came over. There was some large women's group that was meeting, and they had her in to speak and sing. They had Cheryl to come in also.
Wonderful.
Pastor Cheryl. And Cheryl said, oh, well, surely they'll ask Pastor Cheryl to speak, and I'll just sing. The night or two before, Richard called to check on her over at the baby house because she stayed over there in the little apartment when she was working there. And she worked 12-hour days at the Door of Hope. She found out what it was like, but she still likes going back. Mm. So it's a lot of work. But anyway, he called her and said, you know, Georgina, you know that you're speaking too. And she said, well, I'm not just singing. So Pastor Cheryl, he said, no, Mom's just been invited as a guest. You're speaking and singing. So she whipped up a little speech and talked to me about it over the phone a little bit, and she got ready to go, and it just went over very, very well.
Oh, that's beautiful.
A large group of women that would hopefully be able to help a little bit too. So she got to do that while she was there, and she's spoken several times here in North Carolina for the Door of Hope. And Roy and I do that often. We spoke this past Sunday in another association in North Carolina about the Door of Hope and sharing with the people, you know, about the village and the babies.
Wonderful. You know, even with her shyness and everything, she had sort of a motherly quality about her, even when she was little. You just had the feeling that she was going to be sort of an earth mother just by the way she interacted with the other children.
Absolutely.
So it's amazing to hear about how she is now, and that characteristic has just blossomed and grown. Well, Shirley, I appreciate so much the time that you've spent with us. I wonder if you would do one more thing for me, and that is, would you pray for our listeners that the Holy Spirit would have the freedom to work in their hearts to really touch them with the need and the importance and the opportunity and the joy of supporting this ministry. We just plead, we tell the story, but you are so directly connected with it. I wonder if you would just go to the Lord with our listeners here in this time and ask Him to have His way and His will in our attempt to raise funds for this project. Would you do that for us?
Sure. Sure, I'd be happy to do that. Our most wonderful, precious Heavenly Father, oh, how we love you. We trust you daily to take care of our needs, Lord. Lord, for the desperate people in Southern Africa and many other countries today, Lord, we pray for them. We pray for hope and we pray for peace.
Yes, Jesus.
We pray for those that are listening, Lord, that they will see the need and catch the vision as we have called it, Lord. Lord, move us from our comfort zone. Sometimes we become so comfortable where we are, and it's hard to move from that space to just maybe giving a little bit more to a special, special need, to make a child smile, to help a child have hope and peace and a future. Lord, we thank you so much for those precious volunteers that are helping so much with the Door of Hope right now.
Jesus.
For those faithful ones that show up every day, having ridden one of those rugged taxis to get to work and maybe have walked a ways in the meantime. We thank you for all of that, Lord. We thank you for how Sharon, her precious husband, has helped us get started with this beautiful home that we have out on the outskirts of Johannesburg. That's been such a blessing, such a blessing. I don't know what we would have done without that. All the many other contributors, Lord, throughout the country, we thank you for that. We don't take any of this for granted. Lord, we love you, and we pray peace upon all today, and we just want everyone, Lord, to feel the need and catch the vision for this precious Door of Hope. Yeah. For it's in the Father's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Shirley, for helping paint the picture and raise the vision of the incredible work that's being done there. I know that there are many needs in our country, too, and we're often asked, why do you support things overseas when we have so many needs at home? And it's because there are many resources here in this country for people in need. And in places around the world, there just is nothing. And that's what God has called us to reach out to the least of these that have the least resources, the least hope. And whatever little financially we can do, we ask God to bless it into great hope and great encouragement that they're not forgotten, that they're loved, that they're important, that they're just exceptional creations of God, and we honor them because they are. So thank you so much for spending the time. We hope that you will continue to send us news and let us know what we can do.
Okay.
Bless you for being with us.
Thank you so much. And I just appreciate all that you all are doing. And just one last word, he does call us to the utmost parts of the world. And that is everywhere. It's not just at home. And it is, like you said, it's tough to move out when there's needs around you. But he calls us to do that. You know, we have to follow our hearts.
Absolutely. Thank you again. God bless you. We love you to pieces.
Okay. Come to see us when you can.
I'd love to. Thank you, Shirley.
You've been listening to Compassion Radio with our guest host, Cher Nelson. If you missed anything today, you can listen again anytime. Just open up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, go ahead and take a moment to find out more about this ministry. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. When you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Second, please share this broadcast with a friend or loved one. This will help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click on the Donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd like to show your support using your smartphone or tablet, you can just text the word Compassion to 53445. That's the word Compassion to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. Thanks again so very much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.